Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and looking at an important theme this week. Yesterday's reading in the gospel the church gave us at Mass, Jesus was responding to people who were listening to him and who said to him, "Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere. I want to become your follower." And it was a poignant scene and an important moment for us to be able to see what it means to be a follower of Jesus. There's a lot of confusion about that in the life of the church today. And one of the things you see throughout the gospel is just how clear Jesus is about the terms of the relationship that he lays down for anyone who wants to become his follower, and how Jesus understands what he's about. He's not just sending a generic message. He comes to preach, and he comes to bring the kingdom of God in his whole life and the way he lives, the way he speaks, his teaching, and he wants to draw everyone into it. But how you come into that life is not something that we determine for ourselves, but he makes it very clear for us, how is it that someone can become his disciple, to become his follower? And Jesus, in many places in the Gospels, says very difficult and challenging things about it. One of the things he always says in so many words is, count the cost. Yeah, I hear that you want to come and follow me and become my disciple. You want to learn from me the whole way of life that I've come to give, the whole kingdom, my Father's way of life, the rule of my Father, my rule in your life. But before you do it, you need to make sure that you count the cost. And so the reading yesterday talked about one of the scribes saying to Jesus that he wanted to follow him. And Jesus said, look, the birds of the air have nests, right? The foxes have holes that they sleep in, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. To follow me, I have no home here, Jesus is saying, essentially. And to follow me is going to require that you give up everything, that you are willing to live radically, that you're willing to sacrifice a great deal. So Jesus is concerned that anyone who wants to identify with him and become his follower gets this from the beginning, that there's a high cost to it. The bar's not low, the bar's high. The bar's low in the sense of Jesus is merciful and loving and patient and kind to those who are his disciples. But what it means to become his follower, his expectations are real high. He's very clear about it. And it's expressed in the next really anecdotal story here of a disciple saying, Lord, before I follow you, I'm going to go home and bury my father, which is really this person's duty, this man's duty as a Jew. It was the custom in Judaism, right? And as in many cultures, it was a sacred duty for him to bury his father. But then Jesus responds in a way that seems extreme. You'd think he'd say, yeah, okay, that's a top priority. Why don't you go ahead and do that, and we'll catch up with you later. But instead, Jesus says something that's very surprising, one of the many shocking things that Jesus says. He said, follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead. It almost sounds rude, doesn't it? Jesus is trying to make clear that nothing can take precedence over a disciple's relationship with him. And St. Paul and others express it, you know, Paul would say, my life is no longer my own. I belong to another. I'm literally living for another. Right? And now my way of life, the purpose of my life, is to imitate Christ, is to take in, to receive from him his teaching and his way of life. I want that to be the very center of who I am. I want him to form my mind. And so at Mass today, we're celebrating the feast of St. Thomas, the doubter, right? The one who said, I won't believe until I can put my finger in his hands and in his side. And certainly we know the story. That's exactly what happened when Jesus appeared to the 12 at one point, and standing right in front of Thomas, Jesus said, put your finger here, see my hands. Bring your hand and put it in my side. And then Jesus says something that's very important for every disciple. He said, do not be unbelieving, but believe. Believe that I am who I say I am. Believe that I've risen from the dead. Believe that I will ascend to the Father in heaven, and all power and authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Believe, Thomas, everything I said to you about who I am and who the Father is and what we're up against and the worldview that I've given you, it's all absolutely 100% true. I was dead and now I'm alive. No more doubting. It's time to put aside your doubt and to come after me, to come with me, because I have a mission for you to fulfill. And he goes on in that gospel reading from John chapter 20. He said, Thomas answered him and said to him, my Lord and my God. Like, he acknowledged him as God, essentially worshiped him. He knew Jesus was not just a great teacher. He wasn't just a great moral leader, a prophetic figure, a revolutionary character, a transformational person in history. But he was that and infinitely more than that. He was the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, have you come to believe because you have seen me? And then this beautiful, beautiful line that every disciple ought to hear today and not miss on this feast day. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. You haven't put your finger in his hands or in his side, neither have I. But by God's grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the will of the Father, we see and believe. That's what faith is. Seeing Christ through the grace of the Holy Spirit, enabling us to see that he is Lord and that he is God. And then the will. Our mind can see it. Our minds are touched. Our minds get renewed. We hear the gospel. And then our will needs to engage and say, if he's Lord and if he's God, that means I want him to be my Lord and my God. I want to say yes to that truth. There's no one like him. I'm not like him. I'm not Lord and I'm not God. I didn't create myself. My life, I'm not my own idea. I didn't make myself up. I didn't bring myself into being. And I can't save myself. Despite what the culture today wants to say, I'm not God. I'm not my own savior. I'm not my own master. I can pretend that. I can, you know, which a lot of people do, I can radically turn away from any thought about God, relate to him as if he doesn't exist, be absolutely indifferent to him, and be preoccupied with myself, with my own ideas, my dreams, my plans, my priorities, my worldview, my morality, my identity. I have the power to insist on all that. It's madness. It's foolishness. It's stupidity. It's rebellion. And it's profoundly offensive to God. But I can do it. And where we ended the program yesterday was talking about the terms of the relationship of what it means to become a disciple that Jesus himself laid down. Jesus said, if you want to become my follower, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and following, he said, you have to deny yourself. So it's so key for us to understand that when I become a follower of Jesus and that at some point in my life, I have to come to terms with his claims and who he is and who I am in relationship to him. And then with the strength of my will, by God's grace, I have to say, I'm all in. I belong to you. Yes, Lord, I want to follow you. And we know it takes grace to say that. But what's key is this is the meaning of conversion. In fact, until you say that and mean it and begin to live in it, as that Jesus then would describe, to take up your cross, because if you're going to deny yourself, and you're going to say yes to Jesus, and he says later, the third piece, he says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. If you're going to follow and imitate Jesus, you're going to experience resistance. And it could cost you your whole life. Debbie and I and some friends of ours, the Bruce and Julia Rook were in Poland and Slovakia last month doing mission work, speaking at a variety of really dynamic Catholic communities there. Preaching and teaching was around the time of Pentecost. And while we were in Poland, we were in Kraków. And I had not yet visited the John Paul II, St. John Paul II Cultural Center that's there. And walking through that amazing place, you just see what a life of a disciple looks like. And in particular, I was surprised and startled. I hadn't done my homework, so I didn't know everything that was there at the cultural center. And as I came into, I think it's one of the main chapels, I looked to my right, and there was encased in glass St. John Paul II's cassock that he wore as Pope, the white cassock. But this was the cassock that he wore when he was shot. And it's covered in blood. And it was deeply moving. I knelt there and prayed for everybody I could think of. And I just looked at the blood that was there. There's a lot of it. He took up his cross. He denied himself. And like his master was crucified. You know, the apostles, Thomas and others, Peter, they were martyred. The reason they were martyred is they denied themselves, and they radically identified with the person of Jesus. Radical means right down to the root, right down to the core of their being. They were living for another. St. Paul said, I don't live for myself any longer. I live for Christ. That's the meaning of my life. And that's what the Holy Father did. And he took up his cross and he taught what Jesus taught. And he stood for the kingdom and rule and reign of Christ. And he stood for the dignity of every human being. And the world continues to resist the reign of Jesus. And it resisted it in John Paul II. And the devil tried to take him out. St. John Paul II knew and understood. He counted the cost. And the Holy Father understood the words of Jesus, who said, for whoever would save his life will lose it. He didn't run to protect himself. There were all kinds of threats against his life. He knew his life was in the hands of his master. And no matter what threats were coming against him, what he knew, he needed to do his job. He needed to be obedient to Christ. He needed to do the will of God and obey the Holy Spirit who was leading him deeply into the mission that Jesus had for him. So in this world, he lost his life. But he gained it. He gained it. And Jesus is saying, but if you're afraid to follow me, and you protect your life, and you secure your own kingdom, you secure your own comfort, you secure your own priorities and goals and the rest of it, and set mine aside. If you do that, you may gain something in this world, but you will lose your life for eternity. That's what's in play. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. We'll talk about this again more tomorrow. Hope you can join us. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.